Well, good afternoon, sisters and brothers in the faith. Hey, I like to hear that. Have you had enough of dry, crunchy, unleavened bread? By now, we probably have given up our soft, puffy, tasty bread for more than at least a whole week, close to it. And I want to ask how many of you have done that perfectly, or maybe with just one little slip-up. Now, if you were a policeman, though, like our friend Roy used to be, could you imagine going a whole week without one donut? Yeah, that's what I thought. I'll get a little bit more serious now. Here, all last week, we have been seeing leaven as symbolic of sin. But would you believe that Christ, in one of his parables, also used leaven as a symbol of something excellent? Something picturing the kingdom of God? Really? Well, let's take a look. We'll be looking at several passages in Matthew chapter 13. So please turn there. We'll be skipping back and forth a little bit here. So let's start in Matthew 13, verse 24, if you're there. These, as I said, are several parables. And as you probably know, Christ often had to explain the meanings of his parables to his disciples. And here it says, Jesus presented another parable to them, verse 24, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares." And that is, they scattered weed seeds around amongst the wheat. And then they went away in the dark. In verse 26, when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares or the weeds also sprang up and became visible. The parable continues, and you probably recall that story. And it illustrates Christ's way of teaching with a coded message where he spoke in code to the general population, and then later he would have to explain it to his disciples. And privately, they did ask that down in verse 11, Christ replied, because they asked, "Why don't you speak plainly to the crowds?" And he said, verse 11, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." And so afterwards, another parable starting in verse 36, or actually this is where he decodes the one that he just spoke. And he tells the 12 disciples what he meant. So Matthew 13:36. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares, or the weeds of the field.' And he said, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man,'" himself, of course, "and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one." You could go on from there, but it just shows how he had to teach them what he meant. And this is typical of how Christ taught, using coded messages and parables. In verse 31, let's go down to an unusual case. Here are two unusual cases in the scriptures, in the parables. Verse 31, he presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds." That's a figure of speech, not literally true. But when it's full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, figuratively, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Now here Christ is alluding to an old prophetic parable in Ezekiel about a cedar tree that represents the kingdom of God. This tree would grow to tower over the other trees around it that represented other large world-ruling kingdoms of different times, ancient or modern. And for note takers, if you want to look that up, it's in Ezekiel 23, verses 17 and 18. Now, this analogy of the tiny seed growing into a prominent or beneficial tree, towering over the others, one that even large birds can nest in, this echoes the phrasing from that short parable in Ezekiel. And it's clearly prophetic of God's literal kingdom coming to earth, even though Christ didn't have to, or didn't preserve it in Scripture as such, it's widely understood that way. Now here we come to a strange one in verse 33. This is a parable only one verse long. It's a puzzling one, and it's what I spoke about at the start. This is a sort of short, strange-sounding parable. It's an enigma, especially during these days of unleavened bread. It's in 31, Matthew 13, I'm sorry, 13:33. He spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour until it was all leavened. Now, three pecks doesn't necessarily signify anything, but in the measurement of that time, the unit he's referring to, this would equal about 20 quarts of dry grain or flour. It's a dry measure. And that would be considerably more, normally, than you'd prepare for a regular meal or two, right? Now, for this leaven parable, no explanation is given in Scripture, nor do we find any clear cross-references to another prophecy or Scripture that would interpret it. Yet in this parable, leaven seems to symbolize a good thing, right? The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. But during these 7 or 8 days that we're celebrating now, leaven is a totally different symbol, as we've heard. And there's obviously a paradox here. William Barclay, in his Daily Study Bible commentary, wrote the following comment. It may well be that Jesus chose this illustration of the kingdom deliberately. There would be a certain shock to Jewish population in hearing the kingdom of God compared to leaven. And the shock would arouse interest and rivet attention as an illustration from an unusual and unexpected source always would. So what are we to make of this leaven parable? We can't be sure because Christ didn't explain it further. And I've seen that mentioned even in one of the UCG sermons online. He doesn't say, so we don't know. Now, God's church has simply spoken of all these three verses as two short parables, as picturing the formation and growth of the true church and the kingdom of God, past and future. And this view is widely held, even in the Protestant world and other Christian areas. Although many commentaries view the kingdom of heaven as something rather nebulous, right? Not literally on the earth. As I was drafting this, I was drawn to Barclay's general idea that he hints otherwise, that the mustard seed parable pictures the growth of Christianity, quote unquote, worldwide, growing into this big tree that almost takes over the world. While the leaven parable shows the growth on a smaller scale, much less visible. And he likens that to sort of internal growth in the church and among Christians themselves. And also Barclay uses the word transformation for either case of Christian increase overall or individual growth or, you know, congregational, whatever. And in simple terms, these days are about making a transformation in our lives, right? That's what we're here for, the days of unleavened bread. Just as leaven doesn't make a transformation in flour, remember the woman put the leaven in 3 pecks of flour. It's not going to do anything in that flour without some other ingredient, right? Water. What's water symbolic of? It's symbolic, as we know, of the Spirit of God. And that would make the flour and leaven into dough. And in like manner, so it is that we cannot make certain transformations in our lives without the Spirit of God, without applying the water of God's Holy Spirit. And that's something that we have to do daily, all year, not simply 1 week a year. These 7 days are only a start to changing for the better in our lives, changing our habits. And this requires consistent effort, right? Consistent effort day after day until a change takes root in us. And one tool is to continually be planting and watering the seeds of God's word in our minds on a daily basis. In Romans 12, verse 2, not to get too digital here, these well-known words of Paul deal with transformation. You'd recognize them, Romans 12, 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So as we wind up, please be turning to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. Now let's focus here on the positive side, despite the negative age that we are obviously in. And it's only for this 1 week a year that the puffy bread or leaven is something to be avoided like the plague, that symbol of leaven. The other 51 weeks or so, leaven isn't a dirty word, is it? It's not even taken as a nasty, sinful taste that we shouldn't have. Leavened bread tastes good. As we continue our transformation process, we should aim for the goal and not simply aim for the avoidance of contamination in our lives. We want to take the positive, take the offensive. So we should adopt and follow Paul's approach in Philippians 4, verse 8. You'll recognize that. Philippians 4, 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, and whatever is pure or lovely, or whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence," that's what we strive for, "and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." And this will help bring about a real transformation indeed. So to conclude, beyond this week, leaven or no leaven, our life focus should still be on transformation of our lives in harmony with the kingdom of God growing in us. Happy Sabbath.